Jeanne Flavelle's Hot Commodity Podcast Series. Empowering clients with commercial intelligence, supply chain expertise, and risk management solutions.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Mike Coughlin, President and CEO of McKinney Flavelle, and today is January 17, 2020. And welcome to our Hot Commodity Podcast Series. Today, I'm joined by Craig Ruffalo, Vice President of McKinney Flavelle.
Hey, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. How are you?
I'm doing good. And you?
It's our second podcast of the year. Yeah. Your first podcast of the year.
My first podcast since our projections and predictions.
That's right. How are your New Year's resolutions going?
Oh, God, they're going fantastic. Yeah. I haven't killed anybody yet, so that's a good
thing. Well, that's good.
That's a good start.
Well, you know, you are a big sports guy.
I am a sports guy.
So I've decided to start this out with some predictions on the NFL.
Okay.
And then I'm going to do an MMA one on you because...
Oh, McGregor.
Yeah, because, you know, I'm big in the MMA.
Yeah.
Okay, but... So for the NFL.
Right.
The Raiders or the... Oh, wait.
Oh,
the Raiders aren't in it.
You just threw that right in my face. That is not nice.
Yeah.
So, wow. So, as a Seahawks fan, how do you feel?
I have a lot of time now.
Yeah, exactly.
I have a lot of time. So who are you going to go with for the NFC and the AFC playoffs?
I think I'm going to go Niners because they're at home.
Yep, I like it.
And I'm going to try for the upset with the Tennessee Titans.
Well, you can't root for the...
Kansas
chefs.
City Chiefs. No. Who are the chefs? Can. Great googly moogly. Yes. Who are the chefs anyway?
Okay.
Yeah. So
and you're then who's going to win the Super Bowl?
I'm going to go with the Tennessee Titans.
Wow. God.
Because I can't root for the Niners.
I understand. You're not popular in the Bay Area. You're going to go McGregor or Cerrone for the MMA?
Cerrone.
Okay. Cool.
Cowboy. Let's go.
Let's go, Cowboy.
He just looks like he's happy to be there. McGregor is just trying to play off the soft. I'm a nice guy now. I like him. So Cowboy's going to come in.
Well, and speaking of just getting along, I thought today we'd talk about trades.
Hey, nice segue.
Right?
I like that. That was good.
I practiced.
Yeah, that's good.
But I thought we'd talk about three trade agreements or three trade situations that we've had that all this week, and we talked about predictions in 2020. So I thought, one, we'd talk about the suspension agreement, what happened this week with that.
Yeah.
Talk about the USMCA, which you like to call it.
I love to
And then
it
finally
that.
Wrap it up with the US-China.
Oh, right? Okay. So we're going to save the best for last.
Best for last. So let's start with the suspension agreement.
Sure.
So last year they vacated. They said, hey, we're going to vacate this suspension agreement. So everybody's like, what the heck now?
Right.
This Wednesday, I hear they signed.
They ratified the amendment back in. That's right.
So we're back to where we were.
Pretty much you're back to starting.
Yeah.
You were back to the 2017 suspension agreement.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, we're right back to where we were prior to the October announcement.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I think bottom line, the Mexican government, the U.S. government, and the U.S. sugar industry said, I don't care what anybody else thinks.
Yep.
We like these rules. We can play with these rules, and we're not going to change.
So from a sugar user or seller perspective, the big things on the amended suspension agreement, one is 70% of what comes up from Mexico is in bulk vessels.
That's right.
And so a lot of that going to the refining community.
That's right. So that's really where the bottom line on this thing, when you get that force majeure worry amount is do we have enough refined sugar? And of course, the idea was maybe with the changes that we would see more refined sugar coming up from Mexico as a result. But
nope,
not so fast, my friend, as one Lee Corso likes to use.
Okay.
We're going to continue to see the majority of the sugar out of Mexico come up in the form of raw sugar.
Okay. All right. Anything else on that? I mean, that's pretty much.
No, I think everybody understands that that's the dilemma that's going on between the users and the producers in this case, is that the users want more refined sugar because we're tight sugar in this marketplace. And the refiners love the fact that it's all going to have to go through them.
Okay. Well, let's move on to USMCA, which, you know, every time I say that around the office, you start doing the hand gestures.
You know, it's YMCA just default.
Hey, I got it. I'm sorry. It's cool. You know, you got to keep it fun around.
Yeah, you do.
But on Thursday, one of your predictions that you had right was that Senate would pass the USMCA by majority.
Yep.
There were some people like Bernie that said, they weren't in favor of it because it didn't protect American jobs or address some environmental issues. But overall, the next steps is, which I think will happen next week.
President Trump just has to put his little John Hancock on the dotted line.
And then also Canada has to sign off on it in a couple of weeks.
That's right.
Right.
So we've got the last bit of this, but it's basically the components of the USMCA have put everything forward. Everybody's on agreement. We didn't do some of the things the Democrats want. So they had to vote their way to make sure that for their constituency that wanted to protect jobs or what have you, the unions, they certainly wanted to show that they were not in favor of this, to try to show that they were doing party line stuff. But bottom line, this will get done. You'll have it ready to go. And how that will impact the commodity world, we'll start to see U.S. corn. We'll start to see some other agricultural products cross the borders again. And of course, we'll start to watch what's going on with the car industry. I think that's the main one to watch.
What percentage of it needs to be manufactured in the United States.
Yep.
That's the big one. But from a sugar perspective, I think the biggest thing, if it, you can call it big, was that Canada's sugar industry gets access to 10,000 more tons on the quota.
Correct.
And 10,000 more tons approximately on the sugar containing products, which is not that much of a big deal. It's more access, but not a huge thing from a sugar perspective.
I agree that the components of the USMCA really haven't changed that much as it pertains to the trade on sugar for the three countries.
And I wouldn't be remiss to say, hey, what about the dairy industry? And
of course,
between the US and Canada, the dairy industries have gone back and forth. So we get a little bit of class seven, some other stuff, but mainly class seven. Access into the Canadian market from the US, which are, as everybody, or if you don't know, are milk proteins.
Correct.
And
your whey proteins.
Exactly.
Yep. Exactly.
All right. Let's go to the big one.
All right.
The big one, the US-China agreement that was signed. Phase one, right? Okay. So a couple things. I mean, the big thing that a lot of people have read, what is it? $200 billion more access.
Of course.
That the of U.S. goods, and the big one, about $40 billion more in agricultural. So they took a look at 2017 numbers,
correct,
of what was imported. And so, as we've talked about, as you've talked about, a lot of hurt this year for the American farmer.
Yeah, they've been struggling. Obviously, commodity prices have been low for the last few years. They were hopeful to get more access to the Chinese consumer, which is a huge lever point for the Chinese on their negotiations on any trade agreement, is their population. It's a great upbeat consumer base that's coming up with more disposable income. So they're changing some of the needs and wants. And of course, protein is a big part of that.
Yep.
And they had a massive reduction in their hog herd from the African swine flu, which then creates a little bit of that consternation as far as what their feed demand is going to be. But they're recouping that herd, and that's going to need to have more feed. So that's hope is.
What I think I read an article was like a whole pile of soybeans is coming their way.
That's what we're supposed to see.
And so some of the concerns that people have talked about is, number one, this is for 2 years.
Right.
So beyond that,
phase two is still to be determined.
But the other part of that is that because of this situation, as you know, China has gone to South America for soybeans, for example.
That's
so
right.
How does that affect those relationships over the next 2 years? And what demands really will they need? Because that's kind of part of it, right? Is they say, we're going to do this, but it's going to be dependent upon our demand.
Absolutely correct. And they threw another contingency in there. Market prices. So market conditions and quotes, which really just means price. So wherever the cheapest origin is that they are going to source their beans or their corn or their other products is going to be where they're going. That's, they are promising, and I put that in air quotes, that they're going to gain more U.S. goods through this trade agreement. But at the end of the day, it's still all about price.
And that's right.
They threw that language in there. So that'll be the last part of this. And to your point, Mike, about South America, they're looking at potential record crops in soy, both in Argentina and Brazil. The Chinese have been investing in Brazil in the last decade.
Right.
So there is a lot of internal trade situations going on with Chinese companies that are within Brazil.
Sure.
That may own operations that they want to turn around and sell products back into the mainland. So be conscientious that it's not just going to turn all the way. That boat's not going to flip all the way over the U.S. origins. However, this is the time of year where we're supposed to have the low price.
Right.
While we've gone through our harvest and they're still in their quote unquote planting phases over in Argentina and Brazil.
And for China, they get a slight reduction in some of the tariffs.
Yes.
And really for them, no more on top of what we already do in tariffs. So
I think that's
a good win for them.
Oh, the idea for them is that they no longer have the worryment of having that executable tariff that's going to just reduce the opportunity for them to bring in goods and services here. And they're now off of the monetary or currency manipulation list, which was a big deal.
They talked about that. And I think for U.S. companies investing in China, that's also a little bit more security to kind of do that. But also going back to the soybean thing, one of the things that we've talked about is their standards, their process, all that for bringing in those product. And they've kind of relaxed that as well. Correct.
Correct. Yeah. You know, and I think one of the things that the crushers and refiners like in any industry, whether you're talking to Chinese or the US or Argentina, is quality.
Yep.
So they're looking at the different qualities, and there is a little bit of different in quality of the beans that they would be bringing in by origin. No different than raw sugar. If you're talking about an origin that produces raw sugar for export, some of them have higher quality than others. So the price premiums will be somewhat of a determining factor.
And they did address intellectual property a little bit. But going into phase two is really where I think they'll do that. Plus also the subsidies that the U.S. has complained about for like the solar industry.
Correct.
Steel industry and that kind
That's
of stuff.
Right. I mean, we still have an anti-dumping case on Chinese steel and others. So.
Okay. Well, I guess that's pretty much it. And I think we'll wrap it up. But I mean, hang tight. Let's just get along is kind of really
that's where we're at, right?
We're getting along. I love it. It's progress. You know, obviously there's critics to everything, but I think it's in the right direction.
I think that the idea is that you're trying to make something as a progress, not necessarily get to the end result right away. Everything is in phases. And so let's watch how this thing unfolds as far as our relationships with the Chinese, and hopefully it'll start to mend some of those fences.
Well, and certainly, I'm not even going to get political, but obviously, you know, from a Trump looking at trying to get reelected, certainly a lot of these signings are, you know, well,
there
positive
a lot
for
of
him.
Campaign promises that he has been trying to fulfill between now and the elections. And so he's definitely going to that direction.
Yep.
And of course, as would be predicted, the Democrats are going to try to do everything they can to not make it look like it was a win for the Republican Party. That's party politics.
Right. It is. So. And get ready for more.
Oh, my gosh. Right? No.
You know what, Craig, I'm going to do on April 29th?
What are you going to do on
the
29th
I'm
going to
be at the La Meridian at our spring seminar.
Hey, that's a great place to be.
Yeah. Do you want to talk a little bit about that
now? Well, hey, let's do that. I mean, look, if there's not a better place to be, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
The La Meridian, Chicago, Illinois, April 29th, and you are going to listen to some of the best experts
What are
in
we
the
talking
commodities.
About?
We're talking about all kinds of things. It's Food X.0. I mean, we're talking about the next generation.
The revolution
is upon us, Mike. Yeah. There are so many new product introductions coming on stream. Anything from CBD-based products to plant proteins to all kinds of new ways to even produce products. We even have companies out there with 3D laser printers that are producing food and type clothing. I mean, there's tennis shoes made
with laser printers. So we're going to talk about all that.
We're going to talk all about that on April 29th.
La Meridian in Oak Brook, Illinois. And you know what? If you want to register, simply go to McKinney-Flavelle.com and register.
I think that'd be
all the
great
people
idea.
In your company you want to come.
Everybody
spaces
well.
Are limited every year, so do it now.
Yeah, well, right now.
Right now. This week. This weekend. I think that's a great idea.
Hey, what better thing to do on a Saturday?
Yeah, and you'll be doing autographs, so
that's true.
You know, at
that's
the
true.
End, so you know, get Craig's autograph. And,
I don't need that.
But anyway, as I always like to say, live with an attitude of gratitude. Enjoy every moment. And Craig.
Yeah, Mike.
Good luck this weekend.
Hey, you know, okay. Well, we'll come back on Tuesday and see how we did.
You got it.
All right, everybody. Have a great weekend.
Take care, everybody.
That concludes this podcast episode. For expanded commentary and more detailed information, log on to McKinney Flavelle's IQ Ingredient Intelligence platform and listen to our Market Insights podcast. If you're not a subscriber, visit McKinney-Flavelle.com for more information. And as always, follow us on YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter.